true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
What's going on? How's your Sunday?
It just started. It's very early. I think I got minor heat exhaustion, sun poisoning yesterday. Just a little bit. Not to the point where it actually shut down my hypothalamus, which I've had, or whatever it is that it shuts down. I'm making that up. I had that a while ago where I was like shaking and like, you know, like having, but that wasn't today. I was just like completely spaced out and ended up waking up in the middle of the night. And I was like, I have to have a salty food bar and some Gatorade, which I luckily had. Like at 3 a.m., my body was like, you need salt and sugar, and you need to drink electrolytes. I was like, okay.
That makes sense. But wait, I didn't know that you can have, when you have sun, Squeezle, she's messing with the audio. When you have sun poisoning, that it can shut you down so you're shaking? Tell me more about that.
Apparently, I did research after the last time it happened to me.
Yeah.
After the one time it really badly happened to me. And it was both times it was because of an event, because I worked outdoors and didn't take proper precautions with sun directly on me for too long of a period.
That's hard.
And apparently I want to say hypothalamus, but that's not right. But there's a part of the brain, or there's a gland, some shit, that basically gets fried temporarily, which is your temperature regulator. There's a thing that regulates the temperature in your body. Like, it's just, yeah. And it gets fried temporarily. And it, and so you start you start sweating and getting really hot and then getting really cold, like you have the flu or something.
Wow.
And like, the time it happened, I had done an event that day and I was supposed to go to a show that night. And I was like, nope, I can't. The person I was seeing at the time was like with me, and we were literally dressed, like getting fancy dressed up. It was an immersive theater thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even get off the couch. And like, she had to like literally lie on top of me to kind of like hold me down, you know, kind of like you need a weighted blanket sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
To like stop you from feeling freaked out. It was a mess. It was weird and scary, and it lasted a long time. Whereas,
did you know what it was at the time?
Yeah, I figured out like this feels real connected to the heat thing. Like,
yeah.
I could kind of tell this was like, oh, I have done a number on myself. And after that, I never did an event without a hat on. But like yesterday, I didn't wear my big wide brim hat because I didn't know that's what we haven't done live events in 3 years. I didn't know. Like, I wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
And I was we were in an open field with no shade. There was a few shade places that we could go to, but I wasn't in them with 100-something people from a big church group. It was huge. It was a big event and a lot of work. And I personally stayed in the sun the entire time.
Ugh.
So I kind of did a number on myself. I think I pulled myself back from the brink. Like,
yeah,
my coworkers, when we were cleaning up, I was like, and they were like, go into the air conditioned gym behind us there, drink water. We will clean up. You've been in the sun the whole time. Cause they hadn't been, they had done some of their things in shade.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, they looked out for me. It was really good because they saw me and they were like, stop, go cool down.
Fuck.
So I think I like got to it just in time.
Wow.
So that was exciting.
Hmm.
So I feel fine today, but I was on the cusp, but not feeling okay at all.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I'm still a little spacey. That's my morning. That's my Sunday.
Okay.
Then I just get to do laundry all day and pack and go to New Orleans tomorrow.
How much laundry do you have that you have to do it all day? Are you in a work camp now? Or
yes, what? I have to do other people's. No, I just have two loads to do. It'll just be a couple of loads.
Okay. And then what's going on in Narlands?
Doing another work event, doing a food packing event where they're making like 10,000 emergency meals for like hurricanes and stuff.
Amazing.
And so we're sort of there to kind of cheerlead it and make it fun and make it exciting and keep it going and help out.
Like gamify it.
Yeah. Gamify it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, go get a bag of rice for this table because they need one.
Go get a bag of rice for this table?
Well, because like they're measuring things out and putting them in bags and sealing them up and putting them in these packages.
Oh, facilitate the packing of.
And so food. I I'm going to gamify things, but I also might just be like, oh, this table needs another bag of rice. So I'm going to go get the other bag of rice.
That's awesome.
So we're somewhere between like game facilitators and also just helpers.
Yeah.
But look, they fly us to New Orleans. We get to stay in New Orleans for 2 nights, so 3 days of whatever New Orleans fun with some work in the middle.
Cool. Are you planning to like Mardi Gras it up?
I'm going to, yeah, you know, we'll definitely walk down Bourbon Street with a hurricane in our hand at some point, hopefully.
Oh, what's in a hurricane?
Everything. I don't know if I'll drink it. I might just carry it.
Just to get, that's something we learn in energy healing school, is that you can get the energy of an alcohol drink just by holding it. That's a real thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. You can kind of just expand your field and become aware of the tipsy vibes without
like
having
we it. Just holding it is like, and just say we once to yourself.
That's not how it works. No, it doesn't work.
Thanks for yes ending my idea.
No, it doesn't work. All right. Well, we're doing a special question episode today.
Yeah. I think
we're going to answer a bunch of people's questions. Didn't we have, okay, question for you.
Yeah.
About the questions. There were two original questions that were just like, that have existed for a while. And then there are the,
that we realized was the reason to do a questions episode.
And then there's the new ones.
Uh-huh.
Do you have all of them?
I got them all. Got all of it, baby.
You're so prepared.
And I think most of them are from past guests, which I think is a good thing because I don't know, there's sort of a theme to it.
That's fun.
A couple of them are on the theme of sleep. So I would like to, maybe we'll start with those just because that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, that's it. And then there's a bunch of others. We have some from Rami. Rami put a call out on our behalf and a bunch of people responded, most of which were past guests that Rami had found for us.
You know what? Before we get into it, I realize I have a gossip update. I have some fun juice that happened in my reality for entertainment purposes.
Let's do it.
This is for entertainment only. Do not try this at home.
Or do?
I wouldn't.
Oh.
It's funny. I've lost, I don't know, I come in and out of like giving a shit about if people will hear things and then not giving a shit about if people, I shouldn't say giving a shit, but there's some times where sometimes when we're talking here, I'm like, oh, I don't know if we can, I don't know about that. Should we? And other times I'm like, well, maybe I die tomorrow.
And then I go, are you sure you want to
say that? Is that a thing you want to say out loud? I'm going to try to do the shortest version of this. I went on a coffee date.
Time out.
Bless you.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Bless you. Desmond will. I wonder what creative thing Desmond could do to that sneeze to make it not just a.
Make it sound like a fart.
Ooh, that'd be good. Can that be a fart, Desmond? He's like, I already made it a fart.
Especially if there's an intake first. If it's.
Also, I like that. We're asking him after it happened. So he probably already filled in a sound. So now we're talking about the sound after the fact.
Now he has to edit out what we're saying in order to make it.
Or keep it in. And then it's just, there's meta layers of. Okay, so.
What is time?
It's space. It's actually space.
Oh, shit.
And it's circular, but more like a spiral. Anyway, so I went on a coffee date a bunch of weeks ago with a human man that I met on a dating app. Which is a thing I don't want to be doing. Went on a coffee date. And it was a kind of date where it was like, I was like, am I bored? Is he boring? Is he introverted? And it's slow. Maybe this is a slow burn. You know what I mean? Like where you're like, am I interested at all? Or is it just that this person takes a while to kind of come out of their shell? I'm not sure. And then there was like decent sense of humor, sort of, I think, but hard to tell. And then it was like, sweet dad vibes, has a couple kids, you know, good plus thing in a divorce, but like a year and a half out, not living together with the ex. Okay. Like, so it's kind of like, it was like fine. And the vibe of it was like, this is fine, but it wasn't like, can't wait to see that person again. It also wasn't like, ew, it was like, nah, it's fine. So then I never hear from him for like weeks, maybe 2 weeks. And I'm just, because it was just fine, I don't make any, I'm just like, oh, well, you know, it was fine.
Yeah.
Weeks later, I get a picture from a beach in a part of the world where, from him, where we had talked on our first hangout about this particular part of the world. And it was a Florida beach. And he sent me a picture from a Florida beach. And he was like, hey, thinking of you. We talked about this place. Here I am. And I was like, oh, hey, rock on. Have fun there with that beach you're at. Okay. And then like weeks go by and I kind of don't think of it again. And then I'm on a Florida beach, as we discussed last time. And I send a picture because I'm like, well, he said that'd be kind of funny. He sent a picture from a Florida beach. I'll be like, look, I'm copying you. Ha ha. So I send a picture. Hey, I'm on Florida beach. We traded. Ha ha. And he's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Can't wait to see, or like, let's hang out when you're back. And I'm like, cool. Weeks go by. I drive, I come back, things, life happens. I get here. I forget about it again because so much time goes by between each interaction. So a couple of days ago, he says, all of a sudden he's like, hey, what are you doing today at 4? Let's meet at the coffee shop where we met before. And I'm like, I'm actually free then. Sure. I have an hour. Then a client canceled. So I actually had 2 hours. So we like have coffee. It's clearly a date. He's flirty. There's vibes. He's being a little more outward in his expression, maybe a little less introverted in a way where introversion is a problem, but just that like sometimes when it's so much introversion on a date, it's like hard to know who the person is.
Yeah.
For me. Anyway, so then he's being a little more out. He's laughing at my jokes. He's making some jokes. I'm learning more about his life. We go to several different locations. I end up showing him the rooftop garden of my condo. I say to him at a certain point, like, do you want to see my place? And I am not hitting on you. I am literally saying, would you like to see with your eyes the place I live, not have sex with me? Like, I was like, I'm just going to be very clear about what I mean here. He was like, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, sure. So we come into the place and show him the view. Then I had to go. I had a friend date with a girlfriend of mine. So I was like, I'll walk you out. And he's like, where are you going? And I was going to hear some music at a house locally here. And he goes, oh, and I'm going to make up names now. These are fake names. He goes, oh, you're going to music at a house. Do you know, it's not at Karen and Frank's house, is it? And I go, yeah, it's Karen and Frank's house. You know, Karen and Frank? He goes, yeah. I was like, how do you know them? He's like, people. And I go, well, okay, I'll be there. It's open door. So like, come. And he gets real weird. He gets real like silent, not saying no, he won't come and not saying yes. And I go, is something wrong? And he goes, no. And I go, do you think you'll come to this? I mean, it's fine if you don't, but are you going to come to the thing? And he looks at me just literally, like, I wish the listeners could see. This is what he does. He goes, just like a little concerned.
All right. So slightly furrowed brow, a little accentuation of the 11s, eyes a little like pupils a little dilated.
Yeah. He's like a little wide-eyed, a little confused, a little concerned. And he literally doesn't make sounds. And I've asked him now directly.
Bated breath.
Is that a yes? Is that a no? And he just looks at me weird. And I go, all right, well, I got to go now. So we walked downstairs and like, he's about to walk away. He's like, all right, bye. And I go, do you want a hug? And he goes, okay. So we hug and he leaves. And it was just like, there was a lot of awkwardness on this second encounter. And it was still just kind of like, what is this guy's deal? Like, I can't get a read on this dude. Cut to later the same night, I go to said house to hear said music with my girlfriend. And I'm chit-chatting with Karen and Frank. Actually, did I say Fred or Frank? Frank.
Get your fictional names right, or we're not going to know what's happening in the story.
I'm chit-chatting with Frank. And we're talking about other stuff. Oh, the house looks great. Oh, how many people are coming? Oh, good to see you. Catching up. And I go, hey, random question. Do you know a guy named, let's call him?
Elroy.
You know a guy named Elroy? He looks like this. He's about this tall. He goes, oh, yeah. I know Elroy. He's got this and this feature. And I go, yeah, that's him. It's like clearly the same person. I go, how do you know him? He goes, oh, my wife is dating my wife's best friend is dating him. And I go, what? Hold on. Start again. I go, you mean his ex-wife? Like, you mean his ex-wife? No. This is the woman he started dating after his ex-wife. And I go, currently dating you mean like right now? Oh yeah. They live together. And I go, okay.
Not dating, partnering.
I go, okay. Something. And I go, so do you know if they have like an arrangement? And he's like, what kind of arrangement? Like to buy a baby on the black market? And I go, he didn't say that, but he's like not understanding what I mean. I go, are they in an open relationship? He's like, oh no.
Cool.
And then he goes, they've been having some trouble. And I go, they sure have.
And we'll leave it at that.
No, No, I'm because I'm
you just outed the whole thing.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
I shouldn't say fuck yeah, but I just said like because he says to me, why do you ask? And I was like, well, I kind of went on two dates with the guy. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, just today, this very day. Anyway, he goes, you should talk to Karen about this because her good friend is living with him.
Oh, God. Ugh.
I know. So then I was like, oh, boy. So then we do the event and it turns out Karen's busy and doesn't have time to chat and it's fine. And I'm kind of like fine with the whole thing because it was so weird anyway that it's just like, thank you for clarifying for me that I do not need to go on a third date with this human.
Yeah.
So cut to today, I leave some voice memos for Karen being like, hey, so not sure if Frank told you this story, but here's what happened. She's like, oh, shit.
Oof.
They definitely live together. And she says, I need a minute to process this. And I go, fuck, I'm really sorry. And I hope this isn't like I'm sorry to be the bomb dropper. And this is me dropping a bomb here. I just wanted to say it to you directly because I figured your husband was going to tell you the conversation we had, which really just unfolded organically and was like it wasn't me being like, fuck this guy, I'm telling. It was like, he asked me questions and I answered them, you know?
Yeah.
So I said to Karen, I was like, hey, I feel like, I'm sorry to your friend. And this is weird. And I didn't know though. And she's like, no, calm down. It's not your fault. But this is like, I know her really well. And this is not information she has. So that just fucking happened.
Jesus. Ugh. That's what's known as non-ethical non-monogamy.
Right. Right.
And also like using you in a way that you don't know you're being used, which is,
that's the thing.
This is that, you know, last week's episode was called improper signage. It's like, we gotta get our signage right.
Right.
You know, we can do things, but we gotta label those things or at least tell people what door they're walking into.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, yeah. I mean, ew.
Just ew is right.
You know, I don't know if like, how does he kind of like in his head have this laid out in a way that works? Like,
and,
I don't.
And also he oopsed himself. He shouldn't have said anything about
exactly.
Frank and Karen.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, yeah, I know. And he probably realized it as he was saying it. I totally know Frank and Karen.
Oh, my bad. Yep. 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 So there you go. Another notch on the Katie's not going to be dating on the dating apps again thing.
Jesus, that sucks.
Yeah. But I have another date tonight from the dating apps. What? Here's a thought and then we'll go into the records. But what do you think about this? Like, you know, my dear friend Kat, who came on the podcast, has said to me many times before she met her husband, she was like, I am committed. She kind of got on this like clarity moment in her life a bunch of years ago when they met. She's like, I'm going on as many dates as I need to go on to meet my husband. That's what I'm doing. I'm going on dates until I meet him. That's what I'm doing. She just was like, I don't care how many people I have to date. I'm clear on what I want now. Husband, dating, let's go. And she said she went on a lot of dates, a lot. And then she met him. It happened. It worked. Right. So I'm like, is there truth in the numbers game idea? I have to share with you on that note, literally jokes. When I did that improv jam, the guy who runs it, whose name is Chris, who's become a bit of a buddy and a collaborator. We're going to do a bunch of fun stuff here in June. He,
no bone zone though.
No, God, married, very married. Also like brother vibes, very brother vibes. We wound up doing a scene together in a thing. And it was, I thought of you the whole time because it was a scene where the game of the scene was we talk at the same time.
Yep.
And it just arose organically. And one of the talkings became a song. And it was just a goddamn delight.
Oh, I love that.
Just to look in someone's eyes and be like, now we're going to sing at the same time. It was really, really fun. So numbers game, dating apps. What do you think? Okay. We could argue that you are a beneficiary of the numbers game.
I'm a veteran of the dating app. Here's my thing with the dating apps.
No, the numbers game.
Both. It comes from that. Yes.
Okay.
I haven't gone on, you know, I didn't actually meet with that many people, but I, over the years, a number of people, and I had a lot of one dates, a lot of ones.
One-offs.
I had a few, like, I remember one, like you were just saying, I had, for some reason, something you said reminded me of one that I had where it was like, they were so inside, what's the word?
Introverted.
Introverted, that they literally wouldn't even look at me. And they had told me, they're like, I have trouble making eye contact. They were, I think they're on the spectrum a little bit. And they were like,
yeah.
But it was so much that I was like, I'm not even here with you. And then so like, you know, that's fine. We had our time together. And then I think I, you know, did a little, hey, didn't feel the vibe, but you're awesome. But we don't need to do this anymore. I think I did it nicely.
Like on the date or after the date?
No, after the date.
Okay.
You know, at some point soon after.
Yep.
And her response was so like that weird, like, well, you know. It's really unkind of you to not give me more of a chance. It was like, what? It came really heavy back down on like shaming me for not
weird liking her,
not liking her. Yeah, that's the thing. It's that weird thing of like, well, you just got to like me. I was like, but I don't.
But so, I don't. Sorry.
So you don't. It's broken. The moment you're arguing with me, it's broken. It's already broken, but like you just made it worse by, I mean, men do that all the time. You see all kinds of like text threads of men being shared on other mediums where people will like share the text thread that happened with a man.
For sure.
Who's like, I made a stupid joke. And then they're like, yeah, we're good. And then the man's like, well, fuck you, bitch. But still, are we cool? Should we go?
Man or woman, the or non-binary person. The point is like, you can't make a person like you if they don't.
That's right.
It's like saying like, you know, I hate fish. I don't like eating fish, but you should. Okay, but I don't though. Here, try this kind. I still don't like it.
We do that with Brussels sprouts. People insist they don't like Brussels sprouts. And then I'll be like, yeah, but you haven't had my Brussels sprouts. And then they're like, still don't like them.
Exactly.
And then every once in a while, someone will be like, no, that shit was good. Okay. I've just always had bad Brussels sprouts. But you can't assume that. Anyway, back to the original topic, numbers, dating apps. I have met some people that were more in the like serious girlfriend partner reality from dating apps. Only a couple where like I dated them consistently for a little while. So
I think what I'm asking though is like, did you find that after, because there were like a numbers game, dating apps or not, that there were enough women you dated that you landed on someone you liked? That so dating is a numbers game.
I guess so. I don't know, because I feel like
we're dating is a timing game.
Everything is a quality game. It's just like,
yeah,
it's just so yes, numbers as in, I don't think you can say that dating apps won't work for you.
Right.
So like, yeah, it's more the framing. Like I wouldn't think of it as go out on as many as you can to find the right one. It's keep trying in all the ways you try to meet a person.
Right.
And it might be the next person you meet and it might be 20 people later. So like, that's why I don't think of it as a numbers game. I don't think you necessarily need 20 to find one.
I hear you.
You might.
And you may.
And you may. Yeah. Also, it's just another way to actually make human connections.
For sure.
And we are in a reality in which, and I do know people who've gotten married from dating apps.
So do I. I totally do. I think it's just when I say numbers game, I mean, I think what it is for me, here's what it is. For me personally, because I'm so inclined to just like hang out with my dog and not go anywhere, that it's a bit of a numbers game, meaning I have to just do anything, just anything.
That I agree with.
You know, just tell humans that, like, here's a fun thing. Side note, the end of the Karen and Frank story is, remember, these are fake names, not real people, not real names. I mean, Karen, at the end of this exchange where I was like, boy, I'm sorry karmically to your friend. And I didn't know. And I wouldn't have done it if I knew. And they were like, don't worry. They also go, you know, I have this friend. And I was like, sweet, set it up. So Karen's going to send me on a blind date now, which I don't hate that.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with blind dates. I think blind dates are just a fun idea.
I love blind dates. I actually really like them. There's something kind of like, ooh, what's going to happen now about it to me.
And just, I mean, blind dates are actually kind of similar to
dating apps,
because the way you're meeting this person is it's already in front that we are on a date, like that we have decided to try and see what this is.
Right.
As opposed to like meeting someone organically. Sometimes you don't ever know when that flag gets planted, where you're like, did we go? Are we now trying to whoop? Are we what? Whereas, you know, when you're on a dating app, it's stated outwardly, you know, we are exploring this possibility.
See, that's really interesting. I wonder how, that's really interesting perspective, because I find anytime I make friends with a man, And I love dudes. So I make friends with men easily. Like I like having male friends, but there is 100% of the time. I mean, there's never one time been a time where there isn't a period in the beginning of the friendship where I'm going, where I'm not wondering if either one or both of us is thinking about it.
It's the wondering that is frustrating to me.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Which is why I like the either blind date or dating app, because we've taken that out. We're saying we're trying this.
Right.
We're exploring this.
Fair enough. Yep. Yep. I'm tempted to tell another story, but I'm trying to figure out how to do it anonymously. Last thing, and then I swear we'll do our questions. Have I told the story on here about having some sex and a person entering the house while it was happening?
Yep.
Okay, I've told that story.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to update people on... let me think a second.
It was dog walker, right?
It was the dog walker. Yeah. She had a key. She saw my body parts. Let me just think a second. Sorry, Desmond. I have to think before I can... Well, let's put it like this. I have had repeated over the years big feelings for a human individual that we might both know who part of our... we sort of like had a romantic something two different times at two very separate with like 10 years between.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The second time around, while we were reconnecting and being friends, there was a moment where, like many moments where as their friend, I was very encouraging of them to explore their kind of off the beaten path, outside the grid sexual proclivities. I was like, you need to do that, friend. You need to. And what they wanted to do was like sleep with all the people forever and not have relationships,
right.
Just have sex with everybody and be single, really. And, but they were having a lot of shame about it and a lot of like, so anyway, I do all this, like we're friends and I have feelings for him, but it's like when I'm somebody's friend, I really just have their back and want them to be happy. So I was like dually aware that in supporting them and getting what they wanted, I was not going to get what I wanted. But I was like, listen, you have to do that. You are clear. You are saying to me what you're clear about. So I go through this whole like supporting him coaching phase and like it brings us closer together so that I was like, now I want to bone down even more. So we bone down and then they get what they want and I don't.
That was within the context of they get to bone whoever they want.
Well, at the time it was sort of like his perspective was I want to do this, but I'm kind of still judging myself about doing it, so I'm not sure what I'm doing. So clearly this is what you need. Anyway, then I went into denial and I went, well, maybe it'll work out, which was dumb. And then it didn't work out because they wanted to do that thing and I knew they did and I coached them into doing it. So they did it. And then now it's been a couple of years and I happen to be talking with a mutual friend of ours recently. That person has a friend that is also my friend. And I was like, so what's going on with that person? They, you know, dating one people, dating five people, what's going on? And she was like, oh, they're dating 95 people. And I was like, oh, sweet, 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 sweet.
Good. So they're living their dream.
Good for them. Living their dream. And wah, wah for me.
Right.
But also not.
And you don't really just want to tap that.
The problem with just tapping that is it just isn't. It's one of those where it's like, as soon as it's being tapped, I want to date it forever.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, that's when your human designs are not lined up.
Exactly. Hey, everybody. Rami here. I am in New Jersey, and I am rehearsing a play here. The other day, we were learning some choreography, and I should say this is not a musical with professional dancers in it. This is a play with actors, but there are some movement sequences in this show. Anyway, so I was just thinking about how many people have fears come up when it's time to learn choreography. It's really common. It makes total sense when you're being told to move your body in a certain way or learn a certain sequence of steps. And I used to work as a choreographer myself, and that would come up a lot. In fact, sometimes choreographers suffer a little bit of abuse from the actors they're working with, but it's not personal at all. It's really just like
it's really just people acting out as their fears are coming up. And in that case, a choreographer's job includes holding emotional space while people are going through that, you know, while finding ways to teach and direct movement. And I really, really empathize with that fear, because I actually have a similar fear come up when it's time to learn music for a show, to learn songs, melodies, harmonies, stuff like that. And I mean, it's like, you know, emotions are connected to your voice, emotions are connected to your body. It's all so deep. Yeah, singing and dancing are shortcuts to emotion, to, as well as to spirit. Yep. Okay, that's it. Rami's rules.
Do you have the questions? Shall we drop in?
Yeah, I'll try and order them in an order, and we'll just try and plow through them.
Okay.
So are you just going to do this sort of general records, and then I'll ask you the question and give you the person's name, and then...
One way to do it is we go the records of consciousness and then hone in on the individual. Another way to do it is just go individual by individual. I think that's how I should do it, one person at a time, but I won't have to take you through the meditation, so it won't be a problem.
Okay.
Maybe I'll open the records of consciousness and the first person, and then I'll close the person and keep them. Okay, that's what I'll do. All right. I want to murder my microphone. Okay, so I'm just going to talk out loud about what I'm doing here a little bit. Just tapping back into a deep place in the belly and the heart and the back of my channel, which is back of the neck. Connecting to my breath, connecting to spirit internally, feeling my feet on the ground, opening the foot chakras, sending some roots down, sending a grounding cord down from the base of the spine, seeing this river of light from the earth flowing up through the cord. So I'll see the river of light flowing up through the grounding cord. Feeling it hit the root and flood down the legs. And into the roots through the feet. Let's start with, who are we starting with?
I was going to start with Safiya's, because it's the sort of starting one. And it's also about sleep. And then there's another one that's about sleep. So I thought I'd just go thematically.
Okay. Safiya Fredericks is the full name, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, and so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. I mean, Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness.
Oh my goodness.
And direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Safiya Fredericks and consciousness itself in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Safiya Fredericks, and consciousness itself through the eyes of the Lords of the Records. And enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Safiya Fredericks and consciousness itself have for Safiya Fredericks and consciousness itself. Okay, all right. And as I'm deepening into the records of Safiya Fredericks, it's doing a lot for me to connect with spirit right now. I'm just asking the record keepers for Safiya to clear, release, uncreate, destroy in my field anything that would stand in the way of my receiving the highest and best guidance, direction, information, insight, clearing, healing for Safiya.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so, all right, what's the question for Sophia?
Anywho, I have a question for your podcast. What in the heck is sleep paralysis? I want to know everything, the spiritual meaning or significance. Why some people have no idea what I'm talking about. Why it's so scary even when you've had it before. Basically, I'm asking for all the answers. She wants to know if there's any spiritual connection to sleep paralysis and what it is, at least in her case. I don't know if we can answer in general or for her. Do you know what sleep paralysis is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just for the listeners, it's just basically the idea of, like, right when you're falling asleep or maybe just upon waking and you are paralyzed and you can't feel your, you can't move, but you're aware.
Okay. Well, okay, this is interesting because already I see a theme for this day. When these questions came in earlier, I looked at all of them once and I saw Rami's question. And because I know Rami, care about Rami, I just felt into it for a second and was connecting to spirit about it a little bit, just standing in my kitchen and got some intel about entities. And then this one, I've worked with people with sleep paralysis before. In particular, a couple of years back, I had a kid. The mom hired me to help her kid with, she was having, what's that called? Sleep terrors. Yeah. And I had a client who had sleep paralysis for a while and doesn't anymore. So first of all, for Sophia, oh God, there is so much energy moving. Give me this yawning is me clearing energy. For Sophia, I just got that clarity. So, all right, first and foremost, this is entities for Sophia. Sleep paralysis is often and regularly about entities. They fucking suck. And they come in. Part of what happens is because you enter a kind of, we sort of slip into sleep. You know, sleep is an altered state of consciousness. When you're slipping in, it's like a door opens between this realm and some other realms. So if there are entities around, they can fuck with you and cause sleep paralysis, whereby you're kind of aware of what's happening, but also what's happening is not great. So we want to clear the entities that are contributing to it. Here's what I want to do too. I'm going to open Rami's records at the same time because I want to clear these entities together. Rami's question.
I'm wondering if you might also want to open Allison's records because it's a similar theme, I think, possibly.
Okay, I get a no. So.
Okay, we'll separate that one off.
All right, so I want to deepen into the records of Rami Margron as well. Sometimes, the reason we're doing this for the listener is sometimes where two or more are gathered, the energy is bigger, right? I'm doing a healing tonight at 6 o'clock, like a group healing that, I don't know, I think we have 15 people signed up. And the point of these is to get a lot of people and bodies together because it moves things very bigly, very quickly. So they show me sometimes let's put two people together and move this bigger. So first of all, we're asking for all the entities creating sleep paralysis for Sophia. Does Sophia's question say she has sleep paralysis?
It implies that she does. She says she's wondered about that and why some people don't understand what she's talking about. So yes, I think she does.
Okay. And any and all entities contributing to Rami's regret. Rami's question was...
Right. Rami asks, why am I plagued with regret throughout my life?
Oof. I'm getting some more info too about Sophia's thing. So I'm clearing these entities that are contributing to Rami's regret, being plagued with regret, and Sophia's sleep paralysis. They're different entities because they're different people. Well, they don't, that's not necessarily the case, but in this case, it is the case. We're not clearing like one same entity or something. That's a lot lighter already. We're going to do a little more clearing in a second, but another thing to say about sleep paralysis in general is it's, okay, when trauma happens for human beings, sometimes a part of self dissociates away from the 3D body that's here in this dimension and slips. Okay, sometimes a part of self slips out of the body and kind of hovers above the body. Sometimes it gets repressed or exiled inside the body. And other times a part will leave the body and literally slip into kind of another state of consciousness or another, you could say, dimensional reality. So when that part of self that slipped out of the body because of trauma is in another dimensional reality or another time space, you could say, if entities are fucking with that part that's in another dimensional time space, you could experience, one thing you could experience here in this reality would be sleep paralysis. There are other things as well that you could experience because of that, but that's one thing that could occur. So that's for people to understand in general about sleep paralysis. For Sophia, is that happening? No. For Sophia, it's more entities attached to her system. Okay, so we're going to clear those now. And for Rami, Margron, we're clearing those now, holding the regret in place, making it impossible to get through the regret, making it very, very seem very, very real, making it fucking fuck with Rami's psyche. Whew. All right, first of all, have we cleared all the entities for Sophia Frederick's creating sleep paralysis? No. Have we cleared all the entities creating, holding in place regret for Rami? No. Okay, can we clear them all? Yes. Let's go ahead and do it. Yeah, and do we have permission and buy-in from the higher self and the souls of Sophia Fredericks, Rami Margron to yes, yes, yes. Okay. If they were listening, I would tell them to feel into their womb space. And then the back of the heart and the brainstem and the entire spinal column. Okay, one last time. Any and all entities contributing to, holding in place, creating, or causing, or facilitating, or helping with Rami Margron having regret forever and Sophia Fredericks having sleep paralysis. Hey, truth, God, conscious awareness, have we cleared all the entities creating, facilitating, holding in place Rami's regret pattern? Yes. Sophia's sleep paralysis, that's a bigger yes. Are there other energies for Rami about this? Creating it, holding it in place, locking it? No. Okay, so let me just listen in. Wow, okay. I've talked about this on here before, and I'll go ahead and say this. I know this meets with a lot of skepticism, which is quite understandable, but whenever there's a very big release, the weather changes. literally the weather changes and all of a sudden the sky is blue outside my window. It was gray like a second ago. This happens all the time. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of times. So that was pretty cool. And whether that's perception or whatever, I don't care. It happened. So let's see. Are there any more? Okay, so Sophia wanted to know all about it. So this is one of those questions where it's like, it depends on the individual. It depends on the situation. But oftentimes, and they're like 9.5 times out of 10, entities are involved with sleep paralysis, which is why you can't heal it with medication or meditation or what's that called? Brain, what do they do? They do brain biofeedback or whatever people try to do. It's because it's spiritual and weird. It just is. Okay, we're going to ask now that they fill in all the places and spaces for Rami and Sophia that were cleared with the highest and best frequencies of Akashic Light right now, that they can each now hold. And we do we need a soul retrieval? No. Okay, great. All the places that were cleared be filled in with the highest and best frequencies of divine light and conscious awareness for Sophia and Rami. Okay, now in Rami's case, there's some emotional release that may either organically occur after this or that needs to occur through just a little bit of help, you know, like talking about it, journaling about it, moving around, feeling whatever, that was literally impossible to happen. Like, you know, let's say there were no entities facilitating this or holding this in place for Rami, right? This pattern of regret. Or let's take up another person. There's a man and his name is John and he has regret all the time. And it's because a thing happened when he was 9 that caused him to believe he has to hold regret. If we got him in touch with that thing that happened when he was 9 and had him feel his feelings and process them through, he would no longer have that regret. But in Rami's case, there was a thing that happened or several things that happened. And then maybe three things that happened in youth that got lodged into the back of the heart and the nervous system spinal column. But the feelings couldn't process because these entities were involved. So in other words, when entities aren't involved, you can just do normal processing around it. But when they are, it's so fucking confusing for people who don't do this kind of work because they're like, how many times can I process this? How many times can I journal about it? How much therapy can I do on this topic? And this is a good pitch, by the way, for people who are like, why would you do energy healing? Well, it's when like a thing that doesn't, where normal types of healing don't work, you know, something else may be going on that requires you to operate, you to address the issue from a spiritual perspective. So my point being with Rami, there's going to be a need. You're still going to need to process something here emotionally. There's like some grief that has to happen, some memories that need to be addressed. 3 particular things, but I think it's going to occur organically because of the removal of these entities. It's kind of going to come flooding up. Part of why you felt a little extra tortured in the last couple weeks is because this energy has been up and ready to move, but the entities were holding it in place so fucking firmly that it was like the feeling of like a dam trying to break, like all this water rushing down a mountain crevasse, trying to like down a valley, right? Trying to flood through this dam, but the dam is barely holding. And if it could just break, the water could rush through. That's what's been happening. But the emotions couldn't rush through because in order to give you the completion and the processing because of the entity dam that was there. Okay, no big deal. Okay, that's that.
That's great. That's interesting.
It is, right? It's wacky stuff. So should we close their records? Yes. Did I miss anything from either of them, Cass?
No, it's pretty straightforward, I think.
Okay.
It sounds like, yeah.
All right. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. The lords of the records for their point of view and the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Rami Margron to their complete human wholeness. Return Rami Margron's energy to themselves now, please. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Rami Margron are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Rami Margaron are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Rami Margaron are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. I see you return all of Sophia Frederick's energy to themselves now, please. I see you return all of Sophia Frederick's energy to herself now, please. Return Sophia Frederick's to her complete human wholeness. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Sophia Frederick's are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Next one is for Allison Jean Lynn. Very straightforward, simple question.
Uh-huh.
What can I do to get more sleep?
Okay. Allison Jean Lynn?
Yep. We have had Allison on the podcast in the past. Allison has a now one-year-old child.
Yes. I just didn't know her middle name. Okay. Jean. I'm just doing this internally. Help me to know Allison Jean Lynn in the light of the Akashic records. Help me to see Allison Jean Lynn through the eyes of the lords of the records. Whew. And enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Allison Jean Lynn have for Allison Jean Lynn. Okay, so as I deepen into the records of Allison Jean Lynn, just asking the record keepers for Allison to clear any resistance in my field or hers. Nope, no resistance. Okay, so what can Allison do to get more sleep? Just asking a bunch of questions. I should do this out loud because we're on a podcast. Well, the first thing they show me, interestingly, is the environment, like the room, the house, the stuff in the room, the floor, the kitchen. I happen to have been there, so I know what it looks like. They're just showing me the energy of the house and the apartment. Okay, what can she do to get more sleep? It has to do with the house and the things in the house. Does it have to do with her child? No. Does it have to do with food she's eating, nutrition she needs, herbs or anything else? No. Acupuncture, something with her body, something with her spirit? No, it's all the energy of the things in the house. That's really interesting. So do they need clearing? No. Okay. Let me just sit with this for a second. Is it in the actual building? No. Is it in the land under the building? No. Is it in the objects in the house? Yes. Wow. I have to really sit quietly with her field to get the specificity of what this is. All right, I'm just going to say all this as it's coming. So, objects have consciousness. Some of the objects in this home need to be thrown away. Some of the objects in this home need to, every single object in this home needs to have one place that it lives. If you find an object in this home that can't live in one place, like it's a pan and there's no specific drawer for it, it needs to go away. Take it to Goodwill, take it to wherever. This home needs to be simplified, cleaned out, and purified. You have to understand. I mean, you do understand on a certain level, but allow us to illuminate, if we may, how subtle and refined your energy field is. You are, as we've discussed, an angelic being. Angelic. You are light walking. And you must treat your environment as if it is the home of light walking. This will benefit your child as well. And then the home becomes a space where when people enter it, they benefit energetically. They get a healing just by walking into this space, because the space will be infused with your frequency. What's happening now is the frequency of the objects in the space is encroaching on your field. The objects in the space have more, capital than you have in your own space. So you have to take ownership, clean, throw away. They want you to throw away like 40% of what you have in there. A lot of that can go. Be relentless about it. Throw everything away that you don't actually use twice a day. And everything that doesn't break your heart, you know, to get rid of. And even some things that do break your heart, get rid of them. And then when everything has its place, this pan goes here, this lamp goes here, this thing goes there. When we're not using this chair, it goes over here. When we're not using this mat, it goes over there. Everything has its place. Then the space becomes a vehicle that can hold your angelic light. And then your light starts to permeate the space. Right now, again, the objects in the space are permeating the space, their energy. They use this metaphor a lot, but like you're a crystalline vase. But in your case, it's more like you're one enormous crystal champagne flute, metaphorically speaking. And you have placed yourself in an old timey bookstore that where there's like books everywhere and there's like dust everywhere, and it's like something out of Harry Potter where there's like old stuff everywhere that's the energy of which is infiltrating the champagne flute, and just you can't sleep. Okay, so that's it. I could do metaphors about this for a long time, but that's the idea. And then I'm like, does anything need to be cleared, healed, released, brought in? Nope. So let's see how that goes. I love you. All right. Anything else from her?
Nope, that was it. Just that one question.
All right. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones, love and compassion, lords of the records for their point of view, the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. I see you return Allison Jean Lynn. This is energy to herself now, please. I see you return her to her complete human wholeness now, please. Divine portal in the Akashic Records of Allison Jean Lynn are now closed. Amen. Divine portal in the Akashic Records of Allison Jean Lynn are now closed. The divine portal in the Akashic Records of Allison Jean Lynn are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, it's always like a bummer to leave Allison's energy field.
It's the best, right? I'm wondering if there's, just because we're caught in such a Mercury retrograde day of technology, is there a thing, is there anything to be explored while we're going into the records around that for you or for all of us? Can we address it?
Not really. I don't think so. I just did a whole, I don't think so.
Okay. Can you fix Mercury retrograde?
No. Here, though, we can say this. I'm pretty connected right now. We can say, we talked about this on Katie Church. We talked about this on a lot of videos this week. And we're about to do a big healing at 6 o'clock today, Eastern time on this. But let's say again, for anyone who didn't hear that, of course, what's important with Mercury retrograde is that, you know, it takes so much to get a human being to slow down and feel in. Slow down. feel in and reevaluate and get really real with yourself. What do you still need and what needs to go? You know, there we are talking about things that need to clean up in Allison's field, right? Her space. But it bleeds right into, this is for everyone, Mercury retrograde. It's to reevaluate. But it's hard for a human being to reevaluate when you're moving too quickly. So for Katie, it's like she threw this microphone and its cord in a lot of bags on her travels. Like, take it, move it quickly, bring it just in case I might need it. And it's in the bottom of a bag and it got fucking broken because she treated it badly. Sorry. So, yeah. So in her case, in this moment, this is a reevaluation of how do you treat the objects that really matter? And have you gathered too many objects that don't matter and you treat them quite nicely, but then the ones that really matter, you're kind of tossing them around like they're no big deal. What's that about for you,
right,
Katie, they say. And I'm just sitting with that for a second. Yeah, I do. There's a saying in 12 step, they talk about don't minimize the big things and maximize the small things.
Oh,
and
I do
tend to do that, where, because you know why? It's so much easier to control. Like, if I have a pretty piece of furniture in my living room and I put it there, that feels good. But there's no stakes in that. My, you know, the podcast succeeding and being a functional thing that serves humanity in a way that works well and hopefully expands and brings us all more income so we can contribute to even more people and change the world is kind of a bigger deal to me than like if there's a pretty chair in the living room, right? But I'm putting more attention on the pretty chair in the living room because it's easier and there's no stakes attached. So they're just having me sit here with, don't throw your expensive microphone. I mean, even if it wasn't expensive, it matters. Don't throw your objects that matter around in a bag because you're moving so quickly through your life because you don't want to admit to yourself, Katie, how much it matters. You're like, well, I'll just toss it around like it doesn't matter, because committing and investing in something, owning and admitting that it matters is risky. Things that matter take attention and time. And you're afraid that it won't work. It won't happen. So you'll just be casual with it and dismissive of it because it's probably not going to work anyway. But that is defeatist. Whew.
That theme runs so strongly through a lot of the work I do with people.
Really?
Just even in just sort of the way that, like, well, if, you know, I use it in like acting coaching or presenting coaching where it's like, oh, well, you could prove to me that it doesn't matter by making it not matter. But if you risk and actually care, then you run the risk of failure and you can't blame anybody but yourself for failing.
Right. Right.
But if you go, oh, well, I wasn't really trying.
Yeah.
Then I can't judge you for failing.
Right. And it's the,
because you weren't really trying,
easiest way to stay out of ever really committing.
Right. So it's the same with the microphone. It's like, well, maybe, well, we haven't blown up because, well, I don't have the best equipment or whatever. Rather than, oh, what if I treat my equipment well? And now I don't have that excuse.
To me, it's like, I'm not admitting the microphone matters.
Right.
I'm just like, it's just another thing, but it isn't just another thing. It actually matters. But I don't want to admit that any of this matters because exactly, risk of loss.
Yeah, that's, it's vulnerable. You get vulnerable.
Exactly.
Oof,
okay.
Who's I love
next?
That.
Yeah, that was good.
We only have a little more time as far as your time goes. And I want to acknowledge before, I'm going to give you just one or two more easy, simple ones, just because I think we have two on here that require, that deserve greater attention, and we might even have them on in the future or something like that.
Okay.
So I just want to acknowledge whether we'll just address this question in the future for both Mel and Nico, just acknowledging you if you listen. Thank you for your questions. They're awesome. They're so big that I think we need to give them more time.
Cool.
So with that, I'm going to give you a brand new person that we've never talked about in this podcast. Their name is Hanji Jiang. I hope I have spoken those syllables correctly. I want to acknowledge that what I'm reading here is Hanji Jang. And their simple question is, I don't know if it's that simple, but if any of my ancestors, their ancestors, Hanji's ancestors, was a Mudang, a Korean shaman, and if it's an avenue of myself to pursue.
How do you spell that word? Mudang.
Mudang, M-U-D-A-N-G.
All right. So can you tell me again?
I also want to acknowledge that I don't know the gender of Hanji. So
yeah,
just
can you tell me how you say it again? Hanji Jang, J-A-N-G?
J-A-N-G. Hanji, H-A-H-N-J-I.
Hanji Jang. Okay.
And my query is, I love that they said query. Oof, that makes me happy.
Yeah, I got the query. Yeah, me too. That's a good word. Okay, let me open the records just because I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. Help me to know Hanji Jang. And we apologize many times over for incorrectly saying your name if we are doing so, but I'm going to say it to the best of my ability for now in this way. In the light of the Akashic Records, help me to see Hanji Jang through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Hanji Jang have for Hanji Jang. I hope it's not like Jang, but we get the idea.
Yeah, I think we're all right.
Give me a second. Okay. All right, so as I'm dropping into, deepening into the records of Hanji Jang, we ask that you release, clear, uncreate, destroy anything and everything in my field or yours that would stand in the way of us receiving highest and best guidance direction. Hanji has some similarities to Allison, only it's a totally different tenor, like a different timbre of frequency, but it's a similar kind of delicacy, it's delicate and refined. The metaphor that comes is like a white porcelain flower flute. Like it's like a cylindrical white porcelain flower.
Like a single bud vase.
Yeah, bud vase. But the top has a little divot. It's, you know, it's shaped like a woman, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, with one painted purple flower painted on it. It's very, very particular. I do wonder if Hanji, if that's like a thing from your family, or did your grandmother have a vase like that, a white porcelain vase with the purple flower on it? Let us know. All right. And so, sorry, what was the question?
If any of my ancestors were a Mudang, Korean shaman, and if it's an avenue of myself to pursue?
Okay, I get a no on both of those. I know that's not a fun answer on a podcast like this. No. Let me sit with this for just a second. This is an interest of yours that is certainly worthy of pursuing because you're curious about it. You're interested in it. Nothing wrong with pursuing it. And this is actually about, I mean, this is very specific. This is about you healing your first chakra.
We never do first chakra. It's always second and third.
Right? That's true. So, for Hanji, it's like this line of inquiry that you're engaged with here will bring you, if you pursue it, to a healer or two who will work with you on opening the first chakra and grounding you a little bit more to this reality in a way that is spiritually correct for you. And when you feel grounded to this reality in a way that is spiritually correct for you, the, how do I say, energy, the driver of this question will be resolved. In other words, sometimes we ask a question about a thing because we actually want to know about that thing in a deep way, and we need to. Our soul needs to know about that thing. Other times we ask a question because our soul needs to know a different thing, and we think it's about the first thing. In other words, this is about you getting integrated spiritually into your body a little more and having more survival tools that work for your porcelain flower vase being. You have a particular journey in this life that is what is most important for us to share now with you, is that it's going to take some fortitude and some commitment on your part to really go off the beaten path of your family and your everything you've ever known to be who you are. Work with someone on the first chakra healing. Okay, I'm happy to do it with you if you want to, but it's going to take a couple sessions. You have some work to do here. When you blow the first chakra a little more open, it's going to open some stuff in the second chakra. You're going to need some holding around that. You're a person who works well on your stuff by working on it spiritually because you have such a refined, subtle field. And every time I ask, can we do it now? They say no, because I think you need to be held in this light directly. Okay, I think that's what I get for that. Is there anything else for Hanji? No. All right, I'm going to close and lock the records of Hanji. Thank you, record keepers, lords, masters, teachers. I see return all of Hanji Jang's energy to themselves now. Please return them to their complete human wholeness now. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Hanji Jang are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Hanji Jang are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Hanji Jang are now closed. Amen.
Question for you. What is, can you share anything of the experience of what it's like to visit someone you know zero about? You know what I mean? Like, you have zero context for this person, not even their voice on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, all I can say is every person's records I open has a different vibe. It's like very particular. So whether I know them or not, there is awareness that comes through. So like in that person's case, that white porcelain vase thing was very prevalent. Their energy field being that way was very palpable to me.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a slightly hazier focus or anything.
Mm-mm. No, it's just that when people give me more details and they tell me more stuff, it fills in, I don't know, it fills in information that then allows me to see more around it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I love that. That's super interesting to me. I don't think we've ever done that before. Even like you didn't, when we first read a question from Nico a while back, you didn't know Nico at all, but still I did. So there was enough, little bit of information. Whereas this person, I know zero about them.
Oh, I see.
And you know zero about them. So we were going in,
I mean,
utterly blind.
I work with a lot of clients throughout the week who I've never met and never see again.
Yeah. But you talk to them on the phone.
Right.
You know, so just even that, you got a little bit from somebody. Oh. That's all. I was just wondering about the sort of absolute blindness of just having the question.
I actually
typed.
Prefer it to be blind. Whenever I have somebody on Zoom, I turn off the camera and I ask them to turn theirs off a lot of the time because the seeing through the human eyes pulls you into the narrative of the 3D world.
Oh, and like judgments you might form based on, so you add more to your.
It's projection.
The human vessel of yourself.
Well, projection comes into play. Their judgments come into play. Everything comes into play. So there's no point in looking through the eyes. I want to look through the heart straight to awareness, you know. Cool. Did we have one more or was that it?
Oh, I love that. No more that we could take on in the next 2 minutes.
Okay.
Next 5 minutes. I'm still interested in this eyes thing, though. That was, I'm thinking about like when Denise and I first met, they'd heard me on the podcast, purely through the podcast, and they did not Google me at all and did not take in any 3D world information except what they gotten on the podcast. And that's so different than how I enter into the world. And I enter into the world through the sort of eyes and brain and mouth. And Denise enters the world purely through feeling, like feels it before they think it. And I was like, God, I just thought how we have different frameworks in all of us do and how we, but that certain frameworks have maybe more of a tendency to possibly throw us off the truth.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this a bunch of episodes ago. I can't remember when or why it came up, but there was this topic of like on the Sufi path, they taught us that you always want to look through the eye of the heart rather than the eye of the eye, because the eye of the eye is attached to the brain and the brain judges. And that's the opposite of what, you know, unity and oneness and love and divinity are about. They're about, you know, a kind of heart-centered unifying truth, which is just one kind of truth.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual truth. You know, there are plenty of kinds of truth.
Right. Yeah. And my ability to use my mind's eye, the eye of the mind, pretty skillfully, I would say, also can help give us perspective that someone else might lack because they're using other eyes, but mine is more likely to maybe lie to me.
Correct. Because it's integrated with judgment. But the value of that comes when you're trying to have a perspective that is fully integrated into this world being made up of judgment.
Right.
So.
Oh, God. So true.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Fun time, Katie. We'll see you soon.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for their questions. And thank you, Rami, for getting us more questions. I'm tempted to focus on Mel and Nico's questions next time. And I wonder if maybe we can get them to come on.
Yeah, I'll bet you we could.
Well, I'll ask Rami.
Yeah, let's reach out. And I can reach out to both of them too. What are we dropping a Rami's rules into this episode?
Mm-hmm.
Rami's rules. It's a new thing.
Well, also there will have been one dropped on the last one.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I heard that. I have to keep.
We're
still working out the rules for Rami's rules, whether we're going to listen to them live and react to them, or whether you're just going to hear them and they're just going to sit there in the middle of the episode
and just be what they are.
Yeah. So we're figuring it out.
So wait, but the last one Rami recorded, the first Rami's rules would have.
I don't know if it's in the episode. I haven't listened to this last Saturday's release.
Okay. Let's all learn together.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't know what's happening on our own show.
No.
Desmond knows all.
Desmond is God.
We did it and then we moved on. And then 2 weeks later, it came out. And then we're like, what happened?
I opened the records of Desmond. Namastesmond.
Namastesmond. And also, let's send a little love to Desmond.
Oh, God. All
busy.
The love to Desmond.
He's lots of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a moment. Everybody who's listening right now, close your eyes. Whew, that landed in me.
Me too.
To send some strength and power to a guy who's paddling pretty hard right now.
And a loving human soul who deserves all the love and the light.
Yeah.
Mm. We love you, Desmond.
We love you, Desmond.
I fucking love you guys so much. And I just felt all that energy you sent towards me. And it felt amazing. To our audience, I love you too. I'm glad I get to speak to you a little bit through my editing. One of these days, I'll get back on the podcast. Oh, summertime's on the horizon, so I got a lot of extra dad stuff to do. And my wife just had ACL surgery, and I'm keeping up with all the podcast stuff because it's my outlet to the outside world that keeps me sane. Thanks for listening. I love you all.
We're all going to do our work.
That totally, I have literal a tear running down my face right now.
Desmond, that's how much he matters.
Desmond, yeah, got to me. All right, I love you all. Do your work, do your things.
Bye. Bye.
All of the answers, what? All of the answers, yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Mercury red.
Trograde.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Oh, awesome. My idea was terrible.